Well, the central theme of Christmas is joy. It is no coincidence that the most popular song at Christmas time is Joy to the World. It is the anchor song of our Christmas celebration, so to speak. But the Christmas season, we don't know if Jesus was actually born on December the 25th. That's an irrelevant thing. It's the celebration of the fact that he was born that we are here today. And as we begin to read that story of the celebration of the birth, we recognize that joy was from beginning to end. When Zechariah first heard the news that even at an advanced age that he and his wife were to have a child, and that child was to be John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of the Messiah, it says that he was filled with what? Great joy. We know that when Mary was told by the angel that she would have a child that would be the Messiah, even though at first she didn't quite understand how that could be, as she was a virgin, we know that ultimately she said, wow, how am I so blessed that this could happen to me? And she was filled with joy. We know that Joseph, even though he's kind of the forgotten person of the narrative, we know that Joseph, as Mary was giving birth to this Messiah, certainly had to be a proud individual and saying, wow, what an experience this is, that I should be so pleasured and be so blessed to be part of this event. I want to ask if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And as we read this story of the first Christmas or the birth of Christ, the story I'm going to concentrate on this morning is that of the shepherds who found great joy. In Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 14, 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." For many individuals, Christmas is the most frenzied and chaotic time of the year. And as we go about our business during this season of the year, it seems that we are inundated with other things that we have to add into an already crowded schedule. There are cards to be sent. There are parties to attend. There are special events and services that are there. There is the concept of buying presents. There is the family obligations and things that happen, either going somewhere to be with family or receiving those to come in here to be with us. You ever feel a little harried during this time of year? Maybe a little bit out of sorts a little bit with all the activities? So how can we have peace and joy in the midst of chaos? Well, it was certainly a chaotic event that happened many years ago when Jesus was born. A chaotic event for all the people that were involved, a virgin that would be with child, a long trek to a place where she would deliver this child, shepherds out in the field who for 800 years had been told there is going to be a Messiah that is going to come. And when he came, there was such an explosion of joy. And how do we anticipate this event so that we might give God the glory? And how I'm going to give you a couple of things today on how you can have peace and joy in the midst of all of this chaos. And the first thing is this. Christmas joy is enhanced by memories. Isn't memory a wonderful thing? It helps us find our keys, don't it? Can you imagine going to work tomorrow and wondering, now why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? How does this exactly fit into my plans? And you can imagine how chaotic it would be if we did not have memories. Or even worse, going home today and looking across the table and saying, now who are you again? Memory is a wonderful gift of God. We all know individuals and some in this congregation who have lost that ability and lost that memory. And it's a very painful thing. It's a painful thing for a loved one to be in a place where they don't recognize who you are or don't recognize what is happening around about them or some of the precious things that you have shared together over life. Few seasons trigger memories like Christmas. Having long forgotten many of the events of your past, you most likely will remember those events as you look back on Christmas events that were unique and special to you. I remember some of my own personal events. And growing up as a child, I was a child. My father was a minister. We traveled around quite a bit. We were never close to other family members other than our immediate family, mother and dad and my brother and I. And therefore, at this time of year, we always made a special attempt to reunite with our family. And therefore, it usually entailed going a considerable amount of distance to go to grandma's house. And there we would have all the aunts and the cousins and all of the individuals who were associated with our extended family gather together. And we would have a celebration event. And it would always be both celebratory and chaotic. As we would gather around, and I don't know about your family, but we always played practical jokes on each other every single Christmas. And we would give the running shorts to my 85-year-old grandma as a present and stuff like that. You probably did the same, didn't you? Just a lot of fun and events, and we would just rib on each other the whole time, have a great meal with way too many calories in it. And then as I personally grew older and our grandparents passed away, we began to establish our own traditions. And we began to go to my brother's house for Christmas celebrations. And the same kind of things began to happen. We would have lots of food and fun and activities and jokes and things of that night. Others of you may have a different memory of Christmas celebrations. For some of you, maybe it's a very special Christmas event that happens. Maybe a Christmas Eve service that your family goes to. As most of you know, I don't really come from a singing family. And therefore, we didn't do the gather around the piano and sing the hymns type of thing. That really wasn't in our DNA, but some of you probably had those kind of experiences. I want to ask you now, and you can't have more than 30 seconds. I don't want you to tell me all the aunts and uncles and all the events. I want you to think about what was some of the most joyous events that happened around a Christmas celebration in your life and your family. I'm going to come out in the audience, and three or four of you are going to spend 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, I'm cutting you off. So you get about 30 seconds to tell me what were some of those special things about Christmas that brings back such happy and wonderful memories into your life. So just raise your hand so that I can come and catch you. So three or four of you. Okay, here is Kim Braley. Kim, tell me about a Christmas celebration.
One of the things that...
Is this on? Purple? Okay.
One of the things that we liked best about Christmas, my sister and I used to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
A.M.?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'd play cards or do whatever with a candle, real quiet, and then comes like 6:30, we are at our parents' door to wake them up. One of my favorites.
Okay, thank you. Is this not on?
It's on.
It's on now? Okay, who else? Get up at 4:30 in the morning.
I only heard my father sing on Christmas Eve.
Still not on?
Still not on.
All right, let me get another mic. All right, I got the blue one now. Light blue. Okay. Why is this not on? It's too far away. Just talk real loud. Yeah, just talk real loud. Talk real loud.
On Christmas Eve was the only time I ever heard my father sing. He had a great voice, but it was the only time he ever sang. My mother would play the piano. There were 6 kids, and he would sing on Christmas Eve only.
What did he sing?
Any carol we sang. Usually Silent Night, First Noel. And he'd sing them all, but it was the only time he ever sang.
My family usually asked me not to sing on Christmas Eve. Okay, one or two more. You're going to have to talk loud. Anybody with a loud voice? Okay, tell me about your Christmas, Denise.
I was like, yeah, my sister and I would get up early in the morning, but we weren't allowed out of our rooms until my grandmother got there. Which was, I don't know people, but she had to
Okay, yes.
My grandparents always lived in another state, so it was a family tradition, Christmas Eve, every year, the mom and dad and the grandfather would ship in their presents, and we had to get every Christmas Eve and open up grandma and grandpa's presents, and that was one of our favorite
things. Great. Thank you. One more. Yes, over this side. Karina? Real candles? Yeah, how many times did your house burn before you figured out that wasn't a good idea? Okay, thank you, Karina. There's one memory that all of us share. No matter if you had a good childhood or a bad childhood, no matter if you were born in London or born here. And for the believers, the memory that we share is that on this day, we are celebrating the birth of God who came to be among us. The celebration of the birth of Jesus the Christ. For some of you, your memories aren't as joyous as the ones that we have shared here. Sometimes our joy is robbed by difficult memories. Most of us have seen at least some adaptation of Dickens's A Christmas Carol, where the main character is a man by the name of Scrooge, and he is a miserly owner of a business, and he tries to constantly put the quash on anything that is happy or joyous or so forth, and he considers Christmas a total waste of money and time, and you know his famous statement is bah humbug, you know, about Christmas. But in that story, we are giving a flashback of his life. And he was sent to a boarding school when he was young. And at the Christmas season of the year, all the other students went home to their families. But his parents didn't want Scrooge to come. It wasn't Scrooge at that time, of course, but they didn't want him to come home to them. And so in the flashback, we see the resentment and the bitterness that grew up within him because he wasn't afforded those things. When we are hurt by painful memories, when we are hurt by events that seem to drain the joy out of us, we have a tendency to try to inflict that pain on other people. And for that reason, this season sometimes opens up those festering wounds, maybe of childhood, maybe of a bad marriage, or maybe of some event or circumstance or situation that has been very painful of your life. So some of you are looking at me and saying, Pastor, how can I be joyous? Because Christmas reminds me of. That brings us to our second point, and that is this. If you want to have Christmas joy enhanced, it has to be filled and enhanced by forgiveness. Some of you have some deep wounds, family squabbles, internal strife, maybe tension over personal issues, family-related or maybe just friendship-related. These are joy robbers, and feelings of dread and heartache seem to come to you. How can we sing joy to the world? Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Ron Jackson tells the story of a young girl who was at St. Jude's Ranch. St. Jude's Ranch is a place not for orphans, but for kids and children growing up whose parents just simply don't want them. Either they have been abused, they have been abandoned, or for financial reasons or whatever, the kids are not allowed to stay in their normal home environment, and so they're shipped to this special place called St. Jude's Ranch. And Ron tells the story about one girl who desperately wanted the attention of her mom and dad. And each birthday and special events, she would say, I hope I get a card from my mom and dad. I hope I get a present at Christmas time. But none ever came. And one Christmas, she decided to take the unusual step of making gifts for her mother and dad and sending them. She didn't have money, obviously, or a very limited amount. And so she made personal gifts, and she sent them in the mail to her mother and dad, hoping that at least they would see that she was a person, that she loved them, that she desired a relationship with them. And so she mailed them to the family, and she got a return box in the mail. And she decided she would wait until Christmas morning to open it up, because it was such a special and unique thing for her to receive something from her parents. And so she waited with great anticipation, and that Christmas morning she opened up the box, and there, to her surprise, was the gifts that she had sent to her mom and dad, yet unopened. How do you have joy in the midst of tough circumstances? For those of you who have been scarred by past memories, Christmas is a good time of year to say, I forgive you. Many people refuse to forgive because they think in the forgiveness process, they are saying to the perpetrator, oh, it wasn't so bad, it doesn't matter, it's no big deal. No, it's a big deal. But when we forgive the perpetrator, it is not a matter of fairness, it's a matter of grace. It's not a matter of whether they deserve to be forgiven or not. I don't. It's a matter of grace. It's a matter of reaching out and saying, I forgive you. Because until you are able to forgive, you're not able to move into tomorrow. And when you're able to forgive, whatever has happened to you doesn't make it right. But when you're able to forgive, and you can release that sense of hatred or anger or resentment or bitterness or whatever's welled up inside of you, when you're able to do that forgiveness concept, it enables you to start anew and move to tomorrow. Now, it takes effort. It takes effort to forgive someone who has hurt you. Some of you have a different kind of pain during the Christmas season. Some of you have had a family member, a brother, a sister, a parent, a child. And that individual has passed away during the past year or two, and therefore when Christmas time comes, you are left with a bunch of memories about that individual and your life together. And you say, how can I celebrate Christmas when we always did whatever together? How can I still have joy when my partner, my friend, my child, my parent, whatever, is not with us anymore? Again, we're not saying that this is easy. It's difficult. But we have to move and to establish some new memories. Doesn't mean you forget those individuals who have passed away. It doesn't mean you replace them. But it means that you start with some new traditions, some new memories, not to replace, but to create some new things that you can add to your life, to the wonderful things that you have remembered with the one who is gone. The third thing that we see here, the shepherds put this into perspective. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And the shepherds said, let's go find out what this is all about. What is Christmas all about? Christmas joy is enhanced by our perspective of what it means. Over the past few years, there has been a shift away from Christmas as the celebration of the birth of Christ to a holiday season. You've probably heard and seen many things in our media and in the stores around about us where the words Merry Christmas are being replaced by other words. Now, how would you feel if it was a celebration of your birthday, but no one was allowed to say your name? That must be how Jesus feels. Now, again, we know he wasn't born on December 25th. What we're saying is this is a day that we have set aside for a special remembrance of him. Schools aren't even allowed to say his name or sing carols about who he is. Put it into perspective. Advertising emphasizes the gifts that everyone has to have this year. This is the latest and greatest event, especially if you have kids, right? Last year's gift doesn't count. Now we've got a new and better and improved product that we want to try to sell you. It keeps a nation's economy buzzing along, but that's not really the perspective we have. Now, we should not be obnoxious about this. We shouldn't be demeaning. But I think as believers in Jesus Christ, who have a unique relationship with Him and want to honor Him and glorify Him, we should stand our ground and say, you know, we appreciate the gifts. We're thankful for all of that. But you know the real reason why we're having these four special Sundays? It's because Christ came down. God came down in the form of a human being to share with us the glorious story of salvation and to eventually die on a cross that we might have everlasting life. We have to put it into perspective. Christmas is not about winter vacation. It's the celebration of the birth of Christ. Christmas is not about what you get on Christmas Day. That's important. It's fun. It's great. It's about what you give. There will be many people this year who will give gifts to everyone they know except Jesus. You've lost your perspective. The perspective about what Christ has done in your life. And as a society, we're trying to exchange the joy of Christmas for temporary pleasure. There's a big difference. Most people want joy, but they strive for pleasure. Most people want joy, but they don't know how to get it. They think it comes in gifts. They think it comes in money, in finances, and the perspective is wrong. Happiness is temporary, no matter how good that gift is. Joy is eternal. Happiness is external things. Joy is that inward peace that comes from our relationship with Christ. Happiness comes and goes. There are good days, there are bad days, there are circumstances that are wonderful, there are other circumstances that are tough. But joy, joy at Christmas especially, is a byproduct of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Christmas joy is enhanced by relationships. There's a little chorus I used to sing. Man, I haven't sung this. I'm not going to sing it for you, don't worry. When I was a kid, and it says something like this. You remember this one, Sean? If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your life. Anybody ever sing that chorus? Four of you. Okay, well, I didn't know that I was that old. But anyway, there is a chorus that goes like that. Take my word for it. And that's the good news of Christmas. The joy that we have is Jesus came into our life. We center our joy not in products or events or circumstances, but we center our joy in relationships. When you look at this original story, the shepherds in this story were itinerant, poor wanderers. They had very little of what we would call today the benefits of our society. They were basically scratching out a living in a very hostile environment where the land did not produce a lot, and it was a difficult way to make a living. But when they heard this news, the Messiah is born, they had great joy and glorified God the Father. The joy of Christmas is not centered around gift giving. It's a nice thing. It's not centered around a day off work. That's nice. It's not centered around 2 weeks off school. That's nice. It's centered on relationships. Do you know what people want most at Christmas? Their family. If you would ask them, would you want a gift of a tangible form, or would you want to be with your family? I would guess 95% of you would say their family. They want to be with the people they love. Being a pastor, that's difficult for me. Half my family's up north, you know. Some of you have family, different parts of the nation, California, all over the place. It's tough at this time of year because that's what we really want. We want that bonding relationship to laugh and sing and play jokes on each other. That's relationships. That's the stuff of life. It's not about tangible things. But even if your relationship in life is not where it should be, you can always have a relationship with Jesus the Christ, which is the greatest relationship of all. Things may not always be perfect, but He says to us, I will not leave you nor forsake you. when you have a relationship with Jesus. My heart may ache over the loss of a loved one, and that's a really tough pain. But Jesus says to us, there will be a great reunion one day, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you, and we're going to bring you all together again if you have a relationship with me. Some of you may be saying, you know, my family wasn't the greatest. But Jesus says, I will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll be there for you. You can count on me. Maybe not your personal family members, but you can count on me. Some of you may be saying, you know, my finances are just not up to par this year. Man, I got a lot of issues. And that's happening across our nation. But the Word says that when we have a relationship with Jesus the Christ, we have a Father who knows my needs and cares about me and owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And all of the promises of God are yea and amen because those who love him. I can have joy. Some of you may say, you know, my past is pretty messy, Pastor. I've done some bad things. I've messed up some things, even relationship-wise. Here's the good news of the joy of Christmas. Jesus says, confess your sins unto me and I'll forgive you. He says, come unto me. I'm not going to cast you aside. He says, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll make it right with you. Even if it doesn't happen with your family, it can be right with me. Many times people have the attitude, you know, as soon as I get my life straightened out, I'm going to have joy. As soon as all my troubles are over, I'm going to have joy. As soon as my finances get in the right spot, I'm going to have joy. As soon as I retire, I'm going to have joy. Psst. You don't wait on joy. You seize it, you embrace it, and you allow it to change your life. You want joy this Christmas? Remember those great memories that you've shared with other people. Add some new ones, some new traditions, some new things that are meaningful to you. Forgive those who have hurt you, not because they deserve it, but because you deserve it, and you want to move on with your life. Put Christmas into perspective. It's not about the external. It's about what you do with Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when you establish your relationship with him as the center of your life, the scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The Lord is near. Emmanuel. God, we don't know for sure why you loved us so much that you were willing to send your son to die for us, but we thank you. We certainly celebrate the fact that on that first morning when Christ was born, the angels sang, the shepherds rejoiced, the people gathered to hear the good news, and it changed literally the world. We want to come into a personal relationship with you. We want to know you not just as the babe of Bethlehem, but as the Son of God who has come to save us from our sins. And Father, during these moments and weeks of reflection, as we move through this Christmas season of the year, may it be a time of renewal of relationships that may be broken. May it be time of renewal for our relationship with you. And if there are things in our life that seem a little bit out of kilter, help us to move you back to the center of our life that we can have joy everlasting. Amen. Would you stand, please? Thank you, Sean. There are many announcements in our bulletin today. I'm not going to take time to go over all of them, but I want to ask if you would especially read through the bulletin today. Lots of stuff happening and things that you need to know about. One of the things that we do each year is take a Christ birthday offering that we send to World Missions and Understanding. In your bulletin today, there was an understanding of where all that money goes. It doesn't happen here at the church. It's sent off to others in need. And next Sunday, there will be Christ's birthday offerings available. If you want to participate in that, you don't have to have the offering envelopes, but you can if you would like to. In addition to that, in our second service today, we'll be having a totally different service than we did here this morning. It will be a service featuring our children in a Christmas production that they have done. And so if you would like to stay for that, you're certainly welcome, because it will be a totally different service than what we just experienced. And so we appreciate our children at Bayside, and we want to give them some time to share the joy that we have at Christmas. We also want to thank all of those of you who have participated in helping those who have needs this Christmas season. Many of you have volunteered to help. There have been some things out in the lobby where you can do that, and we appreciate and thank you for that. So just pay attention to lots and lots of announcements here that will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And now may you receive the joy of Christmas. The joy of knowing your sins are forgiven. The joy of being in a relationship with Jesus. The joy of knowing that your future is secure in Him. And therefore we can share and witness with those around us. Receive this joy today. Amen.
Away in a manger, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Come to me, all we hear.
I've